Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Rich, could you tell me about Karen Classic, but whilst clearing your throat like Tom Jones?
No problem. Karen Classic is Europe's biggest classic sales site with over 35,000 cars and bikes for sale at any time. And now they do online auctions where you get professional photos, a detailed write-up, a secure payment service, and the chance to get your classic in front of 4 million monthly visitors. And all of Karen Classic's seller fees are only payable when your car actually sells.
Thank you. Smith & Sniff is sponsored by Karen Classic.
A new Elvis, you know.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. I just took my car for an MOT this morning.
That was an 80s song by Stevie Wonder, wasn't it? Or was that...
I just took my car
to an MOT station. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, just and took my Range Rover to be MOT'd.
Oh, gosh.
Which is, it's just, as the car gets older, it just gets more nerve-wracking, doesn't it?
Well,
do you not
here's the
find
thing.
This? It's tense.
I think with a Range Rover, it's probably like dog years. If the car's 10 years old, it'll have 20-year-old car problems at an MOT station. Obviously, I've got no prejudice against them.
You have a bit.
I have a bit. Whereas my Honda Element, 20-year-old car, I think that's got its mot in May, and I'm simply not phased. Simply not phased.
You're not?
I'm not phased whatsoever.
Big talk here. Big
massive talk. I've checked the inner arches. I know that one of the the drop links is a bit wobbly, and I'm going to get it done before May anyway, because it's pissing me off when I go over bumps and it clanks. But apart from that, and it's got a slightly jingle-jangle back box on it, which I'm going to change, but I mean, I'll go with it.
Do you think those wheels on it at the moment could be an MOT failure?
Shots fired.
You've got 3D plates on it, so I'm afraid it's a fail. That's how things would be if we
changed. You know what? I was just thinking the other day, 3D plates are nothing but a sponge-cutting disaster when you're trying to clean your own car. They're a cloth knicker, aren't they?
Yes. That's a good point, actually.
All they're doing is they're a cloth snagger. You're nothing.
I hate that.
You're nothing but
a sponge
cloth
snagger. If you're gonna just
cloth snagger, you fucking cloth snagger. Who are you?
Anyway, I took my Range Rover's due its MOT, and the first problem I had is I was used to where I used to live in London. I'd just ring the local garage that MOT'd stuff. I'd ring them a couple of days before, and they'd always fit you in and do a sometimes strangely quick MOT on it, and then you'd be off. But they were just—I think they were just very quick. They're just very good at it. That's their stock in trade. Just bush, 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 get them through. Now living in Bath/Bath, I just thought, okay, oh, it's coming up. I'd forgotten. I was going to be really organised, get it booked in early. Forgot, and then suddenly went, it's due. Shit! Round, couldn't get an appointment anywhere. I don't know what's going on.
There's still a backlog. It's like the NHS. There's still a backlog of patients, and the same with post-COVID patients, car patients. Because the MOT thing all went haywire, didn't it?
Oh, it's gone out of whack. That's the other problem.
It's totally gone out of whack. In fact, my Tokyo taxi ran out of MOT and I didn't realise. Luckily, it was in storage. It wasn't on the road. But I did a quick MOT check of all my vehicles in January and went, bollocks. Yeah, that one's been out.
Yeah, that's the tricky bit, isn't it? Because it used to be, it's like, the tax reminder's come through, so that means the MOT must be due as well. I'd got it all kind of, everything was lined up, and the insurance has come through as well. And now, all over the shop, don't know where things are. So
we should have one of those apps, you know, those apps which keep your tax and MOT and your service kind of data in check, and you can have your own little digital wallet of your cars. We should call it the Smith & Sniff Sweet Sweet Car app. and keep it's the relationship.
Just load it onto the SSCA and we'll keep you informed. Well, funnily enough, there's a garage that I used to use that does diligently remind me of when an MOT is needed, but unfortunately it's on a car I don't own anymore.
Oh, that's annoying.
And I sort of haven't got the energy to have to kind of get in touch with them and go, could you take me off your books, please, because I don't have that car anymore.
Please.
Well, anyway, I finally got in somewhere, like, after the MOT was due, but the bloke went, look, you've booked in here with us. I've got your details. If you get stopped, tell them that you booked into it. Which I'm not entirely sure that's correct. I think you're... I mean, a listener will...
I think they have to have it logged, as in... Well, when I say logged, in a black scrapbook on the desk of the garage, which will just say...
Look, I've got the legally binding post-it here, so...
Yeah, look, it says HR527JY, that's it. He's written it in biro just a minute before your police walked through the door. Here it is.
My understanding had always been if you were stopped out on the road with no MOT, but you were on your way to the MOT station at that point, that was kind of like, okay, on your way.
Absolutely.
But if it's like, I'm just going to be driving about the day before the MOT's on, that was a grey area. However, a friend of mine whose sister is a police officer, I mentioned this to him and he went, honestly, I've talked to my sister about this before, the MOT is low down their list of priorities. No insurance is a bigger one that pings up as a red flag.
No insurance. But. And historically I've found, which absolutely grates on me, is the fact that they're more bothered about whether it's taxed than MOT. Do you go, but tax is no reflection on the roadworthiness of the vehicle. Therefore...
but it is safety critical, potentially. So, yeah, you know,
you could be
point.
Driving That's around on, like, 12-year-old, like, Wuhan death finders and, you know, that are 2 PSI on the back corner. You know, a cam belt that's got 3 threads left on it hasn't been serviced for 12 years because it's a Toyota Corolla. Why would you? And yeah, frankly, just dangerous levels of brake maintenance. But it doesn't matter. It's taxed, so it's okay.
Yeah,
I find that really irritating.
If the tax flags up as not paid, it perhaps speaks volumes about someone's general attitude towards motoring, and that they can pull them in and then go, what else is out of whack here? Oh, everything. And you've got a shooter in a boat.
And oh, everything. And you've got a screwdriver and a prostitute. Oh, right. OK, we have an issue here. I'm going to phone this one in. Yeah, I know. Do you know, you've prompted me. Just this conversation has prompted me to get a date in the diary for this very activity.
But let's get a date in the diary. Yeah. Hey, is that my local MOT station? Listen, let's get a date in the diary. Let's lock this down. Yeah, what?
Let's meet for a flat white. And also, can you not fail me, please?
Just try to butter up your local MOT tester with weeks and months of taking them out on dates.
I'm going to turn up with a massive dripping tray of Dunkin' Donuts. And just go, oh, no reason. I just thought I'd bring them along on the day of the MOT. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Don't get jam on your spanners.
No. Oh, that sounds
awful. Cheeky scamps. well, anyway, so I got my Range Rover booked in somewhere. So I took it over first thing and then had that. So went, I'll call you in a couple of hours. And I was like, okay. And then just a couple of hours of slightly, you know,
so did you left it, you walked away? Or did you sit in the waiting room?
I walked away. I thought of you on the way there, though, because I took the long way round. Because I remember we had this chat before about, you know, getting your car nice and warmed up pre-MOT.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Full working temperature.
The place I used to take my cars, it was only around the corner, so I never used to do that because it seemed needless. But obviously it's good practice. Yeah. A few emissions in there. I did a little long way round. Went to this place, dropped it off, and then got the call. It only bloody passed.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, you kept
tiny,
me hanging.
Tiny, tiny, teensy-weensy advisory on a front ball joint, but very slight movement. The guy said, don't worry about it. And that's it. And I was so... This sounds ridiculous, but I was proud of my car. I was actually proud. I don't like, you know, giving cars names.
No, I'm not a
pronouns, you know. It's an object.
She'll go all day.
Oh, yeah. What's she do, mister? Oh, she's in good shape. And it's just, I don't like that, personally. It doesn't sit well with me. But
she's bulletproof. As long as you decoat her head every 3,000 miles and you change your oil every
3,000 miles. It's not a she. It's a thing. It's an it.
She's absolutely bulletproof, honestly. As long as you do the cam belt every other week and you skim the head and the exhaust will fall off every other
I don't even like the phrase bulletproof very much. I know people say it and I've said it a lot, I'm sure. But it's just that thing where you just go, are they bulletproof? And you go, well, no, they're not, are they? No. In fact, most types of bullet would pass cleanly through the bodywork.
I've watched a thing on Discovery Channel, I think, where they shot bullets through the block of an engine with a sniper rifle.
Through the block?
Yeah, through the engine blocks. And I can't remember.
So you can't even say, oh, the engines on these are bulletproof.
Well, there's always a bullet to penetrate, is there not?
Yeah.
For every block, there's a suitable bullet.
But no, I was genuinely proud of my car. I was just like, I was so proud of it. I was going to go and take it. It's a bit grubby because, you know, this time of year. And I was going to take it to the car wash on the way home and have it all spruced up as a treat. But I didn't have time. I might do it later.
Do it yourself.
We've been through this.
Oh, come on. I actually need a new hose pipe. Mine sprung several leaks from frost damage, so I ended up firing more water into my own face than the car when I switched it on, like some sort of shit circus trick. And I was really irritated because it was quite cold. It was quite cold, and I've got good water pressure. And it was like, seriously? That's the way you thank me?
Oh, man.
Got a proper face
full. But I thought about this because I had my wife's car. It's not looking after it, and it's not that old a car.
Is this the Up? And electric?
So, the Up, yeah. So at the weekend, I was out with the kids in it. She was elsewhere. I went and had it washed.
You're such a good husband.
It's nice. I did it for myself.
Yeah.
I can't deny it. It's a selfish act just because it annoys me. I don't, you know, I'm not a stickler for a clean car, but equally, I hate seeing a nearly new car that's got like visible bird shit on the paint and stuff that I have to go out and wipe off with some kitchen paper because I don't want it to scupper the lacquer.
I know exactly what you mean. It's inside detritus that really gets me. I can't bear it.
That's a whole other avenue of marital discord.
Cabin out, like food algae going on is just horrific.
But it was really busy at the car wash that I went to. And in fact, the kids went, oh, how long is this going to take? And I was like, don't worry, look, they're moving them through. They've got loads of people working. It's going to be fine. And then about 20 minutes later, my boy was like, you said we'd be done by now. Can we just go? And I was like, you know what, maybe we should just go. And then I realised we were blocked in. We couldn't go forward or backwards because there's a queue, so we had to just suck it up. But
you're in too deep.
I wasn't about to get the kids to get out and sort of walk across the puddly forecourt to the shit plastic garden furniture that you can sit in while your car interior is done. So I said, just do the outside.
Have you
noticed as well? I know you like to wash a car yourself, but
I do.
Those hand car washes, they are like centres of excellence for shouting. There's always people, the employees are always shouting at each other. Not aggressively.
I found
they just communicate over long distances by shouting at each other.
I'm not anti them. I mean, I actually used one a couple of weeks ago because of needed to quickly clean a car before a shoot. And I wasn't near home and all that boring stuff. So I got a hand car wash. And yeah, you are right. There's some expert shouting. But the other thing.
Always shouting.
The other thing I loved, two things I loved at this particular car wash. One was. You are, if you work there, you're dealing with water and moisture all day. Yes? Agreed. It's cold at the moment because it's winter in Britain. Yes? Agreed. So why at any point would you wear the equivalent of espadrilles, which you might as well wrap kitchen roll around both feet and go, right, I'm off to work in winter where I'm going to be dealing with water all day. It's going to be fine.
Cut slits in two large sponges and slipped my feet inside.
Honestly.
Absolutely delightful.
I mean, just looking at the poor guy's feet, I think I could probably, if I was to tap the end of one of his toes with a toffee hammer, they would just crumble and turn into powder. They'd be so cold and frail.
He's probably got trench foot.
Yes.
If he works there all the time.
Yeah, he is.
I was thinking that. There was one of the guys, so a lot of the blokes that were there when I took the Up for a wash were wearing wellies, but there was a guy who was just wearing Nike trainers, and I thought, those are just soaking up water.
Yeah.
Unpleasant.
Is it the practical dad minds that we have?
Yeah.
Where this is? Whereas if you were young, you'd be like, just get a grip, guys. I'll just wear trainers. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm on my third can of no name blue muscle face energy drink. Whatever you call it, bulging blue face. I'll be gurning and cleaning your car in hyperspeed, so you wait.
Swollen artery. New energy drink for people who drink 5 energy drinks a day. I will at some point. I go and get my car washed because, as I've explained before on this podcast, it's slightly tricky for me to wash cars at home. And also, you know, I believe in putting money back into the local economy. Support your local money laundering operation by going to a cash-only hand car wash.
Well, actually, you say this because when I supported my local economy with the car wash that I just mentioned, I immediately had a, as they were soaping my car down, I had a feel of dread, like, oh man, I don't have any cash on me. They're going to kill me. They'll commandeer the car.
Mm.
They'll do a citizen's arrest and put me in one of those shipping containers full of sponges and
wet espadrilles.
So I was like, bollocks, what am I going to do? So I wound the window down and just said to the guy, oh, do you do contactless payment? And he said, I'm sorry, and went closer to it. I'm sorry. And I went, oh, I haven't got any cash. I've just realised. Do you take cards? And he turned around. He paused, did a little sigh, and then shouted over to the porter cabin where another guy came out, said something in a language that isn't English. And then, needless to say, the guy went, ah, OK. He said, maybe there's a solution. Come with me. And I had to go over to the corner of the car park. Had to go to the corner of this quite large car park where there was only one car parked, and it was an absolutely pristine Volvo XC90. First gen.
Mm.
And I actually, to just make small talk in case he was going to murder me, I went, oh, wow, this looks incredible. And he said, this car, best condition of this car. I remember those words. And I agreed. I just went, you're absolutely right. And then he opened the passenger door, got in there, and basically the passenger seat was made out like a miniature office. It was incredible. There were lever arch files. There were those plastic wallets with receipts in. And then he got one of those things out of the glove box, you know, the contactless readers. And he said reception here is patchy, but he said it didn't work at all yesterday, but I've had it working today. Let's see. Took my card. Sure enough, it worked. So I wasn't going to get killed. Transaction done. But yeah, cashless operation.
Do you think he keeps that in reserve for the people who do what you did and went, oh, wait, I haven't got cash, but he pushes the cash angle?
I think the cash angle is just easier. It's just easier, isn't it? You know, like shortly, the local travelling fair is coming to my neck of the woods. And that is a cash operation. Or certainly, I mean, I can't remember ever buying anything from the fair without cash, because I just don't think it's possible.
Do they not do tokens?
Yeah, but you have to give them cash and they give you tokens. You give them a fiver, they give you 5 tokens, for example.
Last time I went to a fair, they just took card for the tokens.
Did they? Yeah. Modern.
I mean, obviously, the tokens help to sort of, they're like a middleman that stops you realising that you've paid £90 for an hour of your kids jumping about on stuff and doing the dodgems.
Oh, you could hose £100.
Holy shit.
You can hose £100 of a modern fair. There's one ride which is like a huge, I have been on it before. I went on it after a belly full of cider once. It was an awful idea. And it's a really high, viciously fast Ferris wheel, but only carries 8 people at a time. And I can't remember the name of it. There is a proper name. And it's £12 a ride on Friday night.
What?
It's £12 a ride. It's the most expensive travelling fair ride that I know of. Yeah, serious. But it's fast. And I'm not scared of a lot of rides. This one I am. It gives you the creeps. It's really fast and high. So because there's only like 8 of you, when the other 4 people at the other end of this huge propeller are being unloaded and loaded at the bottom. You're at top. Yeah. You're at top dead centre, right?
Oh, yes.
And it feels like you're up there for an hour, and it's swaying, yeah. and it's really windy and cold, and yeah. you suddenly feel extremely vulnerable, and the adrenaline wears off, and the fear just yeah. puts you into full kick down. It's horrible.
Well, I think at that point, you've got time to reflect on how that whole thing folds up and goes inside a lorry,
mm.
and you're thinking, where does it bolt together?
Exactly.
And have they done them up properly?
And are all the split pins there?
Because that's what I don't trust. You know, you go to Alton Towers and you go, now this thing sits in like 19 feet of concrete foundation
yeah.
and has been welded together with care, I would hope. But something that folds up and goes on the back of an old Seddon Atkinson, that to me doesn't suggest total strength and stability.
I don't know, modern...
And that's the bit that freaks me out about those rides.
I like that, though. I like the that feeling. I'm down with it.
What, the feeling that you might get... I don't even think a lot of those things... I'm not even sure that you would die. I think you'd get really horribly hurt.
Oh,
and
that's
in some
nice.
Ways, that's worse.
So not to, I'm not, of course it's suggesting. Worse, because you're alive to tell the tale.
Yeah. It's just... There was one we went on the last time I went to fair, which was the thing that's got sort of like three arms, and each arm has, I think, three little two-seater carriages, you know, not carriages, but sort of things on them,
and they spin individually then, on their own
yeah
axis.
They spin individually, and then the central thing spins the three arms, and then each thing
yes
on the arm spins itself, and they all sort of zoom and intersect, and there's some mad shit going on, and yeah. I just looked at it and
it's
went,
a
oh,
tight
be
whip
right.
Yeah, it's a tight whip, that one.
Yeah, well, first of all, I thought the clearances are pretty tight on this, and I feel like at any point something will just go slightly out of whack and we'll all smash into each other. But also, I was on there with my daughter, who's five, and she absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, don't let her see that Daddy has concerns about
oh,
this.
Oh, no, you mustn't do that. That's why you have to, if you feel like screaming and shouting for help, you have to go, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. She loves all that stuff. And it's like, I don't mind most rides, but every so often we have been on one where I've kind of gone,
oh gosh,
Daddy's not enjoying this as much as I thought.
Daddy's in grave danger. Help Daddy. Now, I know what I was going to mention at the top of this cast. You know, we recently went to Lotus off of Norfolk.
Mm. Yeah,
to do
off of lightweight sports cars, yeah.
To do the Otlot, the last Otlot.
Hmm.
Something I forgot to say was I went down a musical rabbit hole a few weeks back, and I remembered my only 50 Cent song that I very much rate, which features Justin Timberlake, called AO Technology. You might be familiar with it. Not only is it a great track, I think, but also, it's very early 2000s, but also the video features 50 Cent in a smart suit. I think he's driving through London either in an Aston Martin convertible or a Lotus Elise.
Oh,
and
okay.
Or if he's not in the Elise, a sexy lady's in the Elise that he's chasing, which sounds predatory. I'm sure 50 Cent's got consent and all that stuff. 50 consent.
It's quite difficult to search AO Technology because that online shop that sells fridges comes up. So.
Oh, hey, oh.
Hang on.
Yeah, 50 Cent. And it
I see. It's
features,
got a Y in it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It features Justin Tendersnake. And it's a great track. The videos, it has adult themes, I'm going to say that. But it's also got some great cars in it. They're all British. I think there's a Bentley with Justin in the back playing with a mobile phone. There's Fiddy, either in the Lotus Elise or in the Aston. It's great. I highly recommend it. I'll put the link to it in for patrons in the show notes. But
yeah, do that.
But so the reason why I said it is, yeah, there's gratuitous sex and lotuses in the video. Gratuitous. Oh. Yeah, it's fantastic. Wow. Highly recommended to anyone.
It now. Oh, I see. Oh gosh, yes. There's already some sauciness. Well, Fiddy?
Yeah,
right
Fiddy's
at the top there. That could have been kiddies watching Fiddy.
Grubby scent, exactly. Mucky.
Filthy scent.
Yeah.
That sounds like a euphemism for ring piece, but anyway. Okay, now he's got a high-powered sniper's rifle. What is wrong with him?
What?
It's like he's pretending to shoot this saucy lady who's getting into an Elise. Why is he doing that?
Is he just doing it to use the extra laser sight? He's got night vision. I think Justin Timberlake uses night vision.
Okay, so he's in a DB9 here. He's in she's in an Elise, and it's on Norfolk plate, so I'm guessing Lotus lent them that car.
Yeah. Is it really? So it's a press car, brilliant. Yeah. Love that, Norfolk plate. So someone at Lotus, we should have done our homework, someone at Lotus will know exactly what happened on that shoot in
London.
It'd be
quite good if Fiddy did a follow-up track called Norfolk Plates that was just about following a woman in a factory-registered Lotus.
Yeah, and she gets pulled over for wearing, and she's wearing slightly raunchy kind of exposed lingerie, and she goes, "No, I'm just, I've just got it on a 24-hour test drive."
This is great. This is great audio. Man watches music video in real time with the sound off. But we're now, there's a Bentley parked outside. So Trouser Snake's basically been
being a voyeur.
Oh my God, he's got some binoculars out.
Yes, he's in the back of a Bentley with binoculars.
He's in the back of a flying spur, again, on factory plates.
Watching a lady
undress. It's on one of those
undress.
Bentley TU plates. Is it watching a lady undress?
In the window of a nice apartment. I know, it's very London at night, well-dressed smut, but with some great British cars in it. I highly recommend it to all adults listening.
But I don't... Would this make more sense if I could hear the track? Because at the moment, this looks really sex-pesty, and I don't...
It's a good track. It's a really...
Many things date this video. One of them is the casual misogyny. Another is that the cars are all out of production now. And another thing is that it's got Justin Timberlake in it.
What, he doesn't do much anymore, or he doesn't feature?
Is he still working? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. He just does something every 3 years or so. You know, he'll do that, release a single, maybe do a tour, and then wait for 3 years because he doesn't need to. I actually got more and more. That track is the best 50 Cent track ever, and I've got
I'm
time
trying to think of a better one.
I've got time now for my Party Like It's Your Birthday, whatever the name of that one is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It refers to lots of things going on in a club, I think, that particular one, which is, you know, standard.
Well,
standard
again,
material.
He was always on about things going on in a club, wasn't he? It was just like, just let it go.
But it's
talk
never
about
the
something
small,
going on in W.H. Smith for a change.
It's never the small real world problems that go on in a club. You go out with a load of mates and your phone's run out of battery and you've got no bars or something and you can't work out where they've gone and you're at the bar, you've ordered everyone a drink and you've got all the drinks, but you can't find any of them to give the drinks to. So you just scull all the drinks on your own. Of scorn. And then when they find you in 45 minutes time, you go, "Fuck you guys, you left
me. Where are all the drinks?"
So I've had six drinks in really quick succession and now I'm battered.
Yeah, sort of that kind of nervous power drinking because you've nothing else to do.
Exactly.
Particularly
that.
Pre having a phone you could look at.
Yeah.
So
how was your drum and bass night? Well, it was all right. I did 17 shots in 40 minutes and I felt a little bit giddy.
Because I lost my friends. Justin Timber Merchant is now necking with a lady in a corridor in this video.
Oh, is he?
Oh, now he's... Oh, my gosh. What is going on? This is very, very saucy.
Oh, it is a raunchy track.
And also, there's just bits where it's him and Fiddy just in a totally blacked-out studio, just the two of them just kind of dancing, just
but they're suited,
interstitial
aren't they?
Bits in the video.
They're quite smartly suited.
50 Cent's got a suit on. No, Justin Timberlake is wearing a shirt and tie, but with braces and rolled-up sleeves. So he looks like the barman who does irritatingly elaborate cocktails in a twatty bar about 10 years ago.
Artisanal
gin and tonic. One of those ones you go, "Can I have a gin and tonic, please?" And they go, "Oh, we'll do our signature gin and tonic." And you want to go, "No, stop. I just want, I'll have some Bombay Sapphire, some Schweppes tonic, I put a fucking lemon in it and some ice and give it to me. I do not want you knobbing about for 19 minutes making something that's got fucking lychee juice in it. Not interested.
But if you've got one of those slightly padded rubber floors and you bounce a chubby bottle off the floor and back into hand again, I can't deny it's impressive. I can't deny it's impressive. I wish I could go to an MOT station where they did stuff like that. I think that's where we're missing it. So if you,
but with bottles of Castrol GTX,
can you imagine it?
Red X.
It'd be amazing if they just bounce past things to one another. Like, oh, can you got that starter motor for the Clio? I've got to put it in. Bounce pass off the floor. Yeah, no problem. Sweat. That's and you'd be like, oh, that's cool.
Need a couple of plugs for that Mondeo. Doink. Just off the floor.
No
catch
worries,
them.
Mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got any? You got any 030 weight? I've got to do the oil change on that Mercedes compressor. Yeah, here we go. Ba-doing. Brilliant. Make sure the cap's on tight, otherwise you get absolutely, you're not bakarkied in 0.30 weight.
Well, it's something to think about. It feels like something they might go for in Bristol if you were looking for premises to open it up in. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. I think that would work, wouldn't it?
Anywhere with slightly hipster leanings.
Another thing that I must bring to the attention of yourself, Richard, and also the listeners. I don't know if you're on Instagram much, but my Instagram feed just keeps getting flooded by clearly an influential chap who goes by the name of Zeus, who is, how do I put this? He's obviously he's a wealthy chap who dresses like a sort of shirtless designer fisherman with a sunburnt face.
Is he this older guy?
Older guy with King Neptune-style hair.
Yes. And lots he does. He just looks like some kind of Roman god. And
he keeps climbing into supercars. I've seen him. And climbing out of them again.
Yeah. Is he a real person or is it a character or something?
I couldn't
figure it out.
I think he's might have been a wealthy buznussman at some point, and maybe now he's just living the high life. But seems to either be followed everywhere by paparazzi or he employs them to film and so he can put stuff on Instagram. I don't actually know. I can't work it out. But he never wears, I noticed this, he likes the big chunky jumper with a wide neck. So the neck's wide enough to almost touch the shoulders. You know, that kind of width.
Oh,
so you can see a lot of skin. And he doesn't wear he doesn't wear any shirts, never wears a shirt. So he's bare-chested under quite a thick fisherman's jumper. And he's got a couple of sort of gap year beads on. But yeah, he just keeps getting in and out of supercars. I don't know if he drives them much. In fact, maybe he doesn't drive any of them. He just gets in them and then gets back out.
Gets in and out of them. That's his job.
I don't know. But he goes by the name of Zeus. And I wonder, has he called himself Zeus? Because if you've called yourself Zeus, that's a bit...
Yeah, you can't pick your own nicknames. That's just not allowed.
No, you can't. You
I have seen him and I've gone, I just look at him and go, I assume, perhaps wrongly, that he's Italian. He's just got that look of, you know, the older Italian men who are keeping it together.
The show-off is still strong in them. The peacocking is still there, isn't it?
Yeah, good clothes. Although I'm not liking the sound of these wide-neck jumpers. That just sounds... I don't know, maybe he's got a very big head and he can't get on with, like...
He might have
a Gap pullover for Christmas and he'd be like, never getting that on. Never going to get that on. I'll have to investigate further the Zeus character. Bloody hell. We've mentioned him before. That guy from Stellantis.
Oh.
Is he the marketing director?
Yeah. Oliver Francois.
Oliver Francois.
Yes.
He's at it again. What did you send me the other day?
Oh.
He's having a frigging party with someone sort of quite highbrow, I think.
Oh,
wasn't
it?
I'm going to try and find this now.
Did I WhatsApp it to you? I can't remember.
I think you might have done. Or maybe not. No, see, there's probably too many lines of communication.
Oh, wait,
I think
you might have
Instagram messengered it to me. Which is just a headache.
It is a complete pain in the back door.
He was... Hang on, here we go. So he's having Sunday lunch. He says, lovely, brackets, and enlightening. Sunday lunch with my friend, Kerry Kennedy, president of Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights, and Mike Posner, former assistant secretary for human rights in the Obama administration, and my good friend Shaggy. He had fucking Shaggy
with
two political heavyweights, people, shining stars of the American political movement, and Shaggy out of O Carolina. I mean,
what Mr. Lover Lover?
And he's the fucking marketing boss of Stellantis or whatever he is, or CEO of Fiat now, creative. I don't know what he does. But either way, that's a weird guest list.
Well, it's human rights people and Shaggy. But hang on, Shaggy said it wasn't me.
Maybe that's why.
So that's not.
He wanted to hang out with some human rights experts. He's like, listen, I've got a lot of problems. The old it wasn't me excuse isn't working
anymore. That won't wash, Shaggy. That will not wash. Not anymore. I'm so sorry. Mr. Lover Lover. Yeah, don't call yourself that. Because that implies that you're just into sort of, you know what I mean, like the foreplay and not actually staying around and being a responsible partner. So don't please don't do that. Don't propagate
also,
those thoughts.
You would say to who was it again? Sorry. Kerry Kennedy, president of the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights. I don't know what that means, actually. I presume it's a centre or a foundation or something. And Mike Posner, former assistant secretary for human rights in the Obama administration. Now, Shaggy's going to say to them, look, how do I get out of this? And they're going to go, well, didn't you actually say she came in and caught you red-handed but naked on the bathroom floor?
Yes.
So, I mean...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Really, there is no getting out of that. That's like, legally, you're absolutely bang to rights there, Shaggy. Probably saying it wasn't me isn't much of a defence in any court, national or international, so suck it up. I still don't understand this man. I don't understand why Shaggy or anybody would go, who, what? It's the, you're the head of Fiat? But he lives in Miami. Maybe that's part of the draw.
Okay.
So he goes, yeah, come on over for Sunday lunch. All right. Sounds a bit weird. Who else is going to be there? Oh, Shaggy. Oh, great. Wait, which? The one out of Scooby-Doo or the one who said it wasn't him? Either's good. I'll be there. That's great. But yeah, I can't. I mean, I just don't understand.
They call
this
me
man.
Boombastic. Da da da. Fantastic. Da 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 da.
And then he's also, his other recent post was wishing Michael Bolton a happy birthday.
Get away. And then, seriously.
And then he's posted a load of pictures of Michael Bolton, and he's in two of them with Michael Bolton, which is.
Michael Bolton is supposed to be really funny.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he is. Although he does have the face of a bird of prey.
He does.
He's got a very kestrelly
face. He's kestrel faced, isn't he? Yeah.
He's quite kestrelly faced. Yeah. Oh, gosh, we're weird, aren't we?
No. I want to talk to you about this TV series I've been watching on the BBC iPlayer called The Gold. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, lots of people have said I ought to watch it, and I haven't yet.
Mm. I'm enjoying it. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm enjoying it. For people who haven't seen this or aren't aware of it, it tells the story, the real life story of the Brinks Mat bullion robbery in 1983, which was the largest robbery in history.
The largest robbery of any sort or a valuable...
Might have been, yeah.
Valuable metal.
The true story is that these sort of mid-level crims from South London, six of them, turned up early one morning in a transit at a vaulted security place near Heathrow Airport, having been tipped off by their inside man who worked there, that in the vault there's about £1 million worth of, I think, foreign currency thereafter. And when they arrived and they were trying to get the other guards who weren't in their pay to let them into the vault, they suddenly noticed that outside the vault there was a pile of gold. And it was 3 tons of gold. At the time...
3 tons?
The whole haul. I think they took a few other little bits and pieces as well, diamonds and things like that. But the main thing they took was unexpected gold, which hadn't even been put in the vault because it was in transit and it was going to be shipped off, I think, to Hong Kong or the Middle East almost straight away. So they hadn't even locked it away properly. And so they were straight away chucking 3 tons of gold. It was worth at the time, I think, 26 million quid. That's over 90 million quid now.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was worth taking. I just wanted to see, and they sadly didn't recreate this in the show, the state of their transit trying to drive off after they'd put 3 tons of gold in the back of it.
Oh.
I imagine it was sitting low.
It would have been like a clown car, you know, with you get huge negative camber. and it would have been chafing.
Yeah.
But you put those spring save. Oh no, do transits have leaves? They would have had leaves on the back then, wouldn't
they?
They've
had leaves, yeah.
Of course they would have had leaves.
Yeah, so it would have been absolutely groaning, I reckon. Even if it was like a, you know, one of those ones, those transits around that time, they still had sometimes the flared arches on the back with the dual wheels, didn't they? But I bet it wasn't one of those. I bet it was just a normal single wheel, short wheelbase transit, which I think, I've read some stuff about this. I think they also had an estate car, but frustratingly, it doesn't say what. And I think it also, I read somewhere that the van did actually break down on the way back to there, wherever they were going to stash the loot.
Really?
And they had to hastily get it going again. You know, sort of it's like 7 a.m. and get off the roads before people start to notice this transit sparking down the A4 trying to get away with 3 tons of gold in the back. They didn't intend to nick because they didn't know they were going to find it.
Would it look like a Formula One car where they go down the bumpy straight, you know, VMAX?
Yes.
And they're just firing off
like a slow motion version of that. So this is based on a true story. They've taken quite a few liberties with it to make it more palatable for TV. So it's like, there's, you know, some of the characters are real, some of them aren't. And they've monkeyed a little bit with the narrative, or rather they haven't sort of...
The gold.
Because actually what happened is the police set up a massive sort of task force, but like a sort of ring fence dedicated unit to try and track down the gold and the people who took it and the organization that then helped
the gold
to sell it and turn it into money and then clean that money and so that the crims get their proceeds. So it's all very complicated. The reason I bring this up is because it is very good. It's a good show. It's written by Neil Forsyth, who is a brilliant writer. He does, if anyone knows a character called Bob Servant, who's a comedy character, he's sort of like Roy Lanchester off Sniff Petrol, but better and funnier, and he's supposed to run a burger van in Dundee. And he's very good on Twitter. So Neil Forsyth wrote the script for this. It's a bit... They try to make this point that it's kind of like... Because it's the kind of early days of the 80s, and we're getting into the kind of, you know, full... you sort of peak Thatcherism of 83 to 87. And... So they try to make this point about the class system and how these crims from South London are kind of, you know...
They felt wronged by the government.
Yeah, and the establishment and how it's like, you know, sort of... So it's kind of new and possibly illegally acquired money versus old money kind of thing. But it's quite heavy-handed for my liking. I find it a bit... There's lots of people with often not quite their London accents going... Thing about people like us is we don't get to live like people like them, but that's going to change, you know. And you just go, all right, lay it on so freaking thick. It's like this because they've got, you know, it's like drama now has to have subtext and nuance and things. Ever since sort of The Sopranos and Mad Men and things like that showed,
I've never seen The Sopranos or Mad Men.
It's great. Try The Sopranos. It's great.
I've basically got to sit at home in my pants for 6 months and watch loads of this stuff.
Yeah, just box set it. Curtains closed until you realise that your house smells like an abattoir.
Yeah, and your taxes run out and your car's been taken away off of the streets.
MOT station still waiting for you to turn up. Anyway, so no, it's a good show. It's enjoyable, but the reason I bring this up is because we had quite a few messages to the podcast from people going, have you seen the gold yet? There's some terrible car crimes in it. And it's true. It's another one of those shows that doesn't get the cars quite right. And the most obvious and egregious one is that the two lead coppers that they focus on have a Granada. But when the robbery happens in late 1983, they've already got an aero-shaped Granada.
It hasn't been launched yet. Of course. Did you say it's 84?
83, it starts.
Yeah.
It's one of the things, they don't quite make it clear how much time passes, but then it's like by episode 4, I think we're into 1985, because this is the thing, the investigation went on so long, and it also took the crims quite a long time to kind of get rid of the gold. So it's quite a long period that it covers. It wasn't just like, you know, sort of 2 weeks and they'd solved it. But even so, the Granada is wrong. And it's like you go.
I've actually got the manual from someone when we were doing Smith and Sniff Live. I forget which event. Apologies, but someone gave me a new old stock Scorpio Haynes manual still in the cellophane, and I've actually got it on my desk right now as I'm recording this podcast, and it says for Granada and Scorpio 1985 to 1994 B to Emirage. So there we go. If only someone from the
granny
gold.
In this is wrong. And you sort of go, this hasn't totally spoilt my enjoyment of the show, but it is irritating because it's just like, for some reason I always think some TV show production designers, they presumably they pour a lot of effort into getting clothes,
yes,
and furniture right, and all these little details.
Yeah.
And with cars, they just go, because presumably they borrowed that Granada off somebody.
Yeah, they would have paid, aren't
they? What year is it? Oh, it's an 85. And you go, oh, well, this is set in 83, so, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. And it's like, did you not just Wikipedia it and go, oh, wait, they massively changed the design of Granada between the two? So it sort of feels a bit sloppy. And you just go, you wouldn't do that with, I don't know, like them wearing a Frankie Says Relax T-shirt, because they'd go, oh, wait, wasn't that a bit later than 83? Because someone just go, that's just lazy. Just sort it out. Do some research. That's your job. You're a production designer.
Sort it.
But with cars, it's sort of allowed to go a bit squiffy. And I kind of go, I don't know why, because they're fucking obvious and on screen. And there's lots of other cars in it that are, just seem to be period correct. And every so often you'll kind of, you know, if you're a super nerd, you'll go, isn't that a facelifted Rover 200? Isn't that too early? Isn't it too early for that? And there's a bit where there's a two-tone Montego, and you're like, they didn't come in till after.
Well, I guess was the Ashes to Ashes Quattro, that was a bit, it was a bit contentious, wasn't it? Because that was the wrong, it was the wrong registration plate, and it was a post facelift car. It was wrong in two. It was V-Reg 79, which they never launched it on ever.
Mm.
That's when it was seen at the motor show, isn't it? So unless they stole a concept car or
and then facelifted it.
And then facelifted it all of a sudden and gave it to the police to use, which they could. I'm sure they could. That shit irritates me, Richard. Well, and it's
just,
why do they employ
it just
us?
Takes the edge off. I know.
Listen, let's just stop this. Stop
straight.
Press.
Right,
guys,
shut production down. Listen. Everybody stop. You lot, stop acting.
Guys.
We're going to have to change all the cars in this shot. They're all wrong.
Listen, here's the
score.
Guys.
There's another bit where they get out of their Granada in a car park and they're walking through the car park and behind them is a facelifted Ford Orion from 86. And you're like, again, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
There are too many aero front Fords in this shot. What are you playing at?
Aero,
83.
Aero Fords.
Map it.
Yeah, it needs to be more boxy, doesn't it? And more trad.
Yeah, I want slatty grills.
That's right.
We could have told them that.
Well, we can offer this service. Can we offer this service? Car accuracy?
Well, if you're listening, if you're currently in the planning stages of a landmark TV drama and you've got cars in it, just let us know, because we will come down and we'll just be a nuisance until you ask us to get out. Because, it is. It's just that thing where I do think that a lot of effort is put into the design, the look of shows, you know, even to the extent the way that they'll shoot them. You know, and light them.
Of course.
To make them feel periods correct. But somehow cars just fall off that level of care and concern. They just go, well, is it a Ford? Yeah, it'd be fine. Yeah, just get it in. You go, well, hang on, isn't this like a year old Cougar? What, isn't this set in 1964? Isn't this wrong? But somehow that's okay.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Listen,
I'm
with you. I'm absolutely with you. It needs to end.
I think it does.
I haven't seen The Crown. I know you've seen The Crown a lot. I know there's some choice motors in The Crown. And I know
there's a few little slip-ups in The Crown as well. And also, they seem to claim that Princess Anne had a Reliant Scimitar. I mean, how ridiculous.
That is obscene.
But apart from that, you know, it's worth watching. The gold is worth watching. It's very enjoyable. It's fascinating because, obviously, it is based heavily on a true story. And it's pretty amazing. And the fact that they stole this loot. But it's the repercussions that it had. And the one... Because do you remember, as a kid, do you remember the Brinksmat robbery happening? It was in the news a lot, obviously.
No, I don't. I don't remember. I remember the miners' strikes.
Yes,
more so they were picketing, and I always wondered what were they doing, bringing their own fencing. I used to constantly think, what do? They're having an argument and bringing their own fencing and just knocking it into the ground and then pointing at it and shouting. What's that all about? I remember just genuinely thinking that was the case.
Wasn't there a playground joke that involved pickets and picket, as in your nose?
Yes.
I can't, I can't reverse engineer how that might have happened, but it was definitely, there was something like
the flying pickets.
It was the flying pickets as well. Oh no, they're coming with the a cappella singing. The really amazing thing about the gold that was stolen from Brinksmat was that it released so much money that needed to be spent in ways that would make the money legit, that it significantly funded the development of all of that bit of East London, sort of Canary Wharf and all around there.
Really?
Yeah. And you see this in the show. I mean, obviously, it's sort of fictionalised account of it. But, yeah, there was so much extra money suddenly sloshing around in London that needed to be cleaned up by being invested in property and things like that, that it drove the sort of growing boom to redevelop some of those areas of London that had been allowed to run down near the river.
Incredible.
And that led to the sort of flashiness that we have around Docklands now.
That's brilliant.
Pretty amazing story. So, yeah, go and check it out.
I'll tell you what, mate, you were just talking about, like, shitty, like, rovers and all that, weren't you, just saying and all that? And I wrote in my notes a couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to talk to you about it. There's a pub near where I live, Richard, and I don't go to it because it looks a bit cack. But it's true, it does look a bit cack. But I've noticed there's one car that's always in the car park, and I can't work out if it's the owner of the pubs or if it's just sort of a spare car. So this car in question, listeners, is a
It's not, the pub's not called The Lonely Heart, is it?
No, it's not.
Then you could sing, it's the owner of The Lonely Heart.
Well, The Lonely...
It's his car.
It's a Rover 45 on an X Ridge. And it's... It looks like it's kept in reasonable order, but it hasn't moved in, I'd say, several months.
Oh. Okay.
And I've checked, and it is road legal still. So maybe it gets used when I don't see it, but it gets put back in an identical spot. Who knows? But I was thinking, there's always a car like that, or there used to be in lots of pub car parks. So is it sort of like a... Is it like a... an emergency get your home car that someone's put there, or is it like a pub Uber? And if it was a pub Uber, it got me thinking, surely Uber are missing a trick. They could call these pubers because it's a pub. It's a pub Uber. I need to fetch myself a puber. For example, I'm just trying to set a scene that's completely unrealistic. You're the nominated driver on a big night out. Everyone else is getting a little bit hardcore with the units, whereas you're staying teetotal because you're the nominated driver. But you've just suddenly realised you've forgotten to bring your car.
So you've said
you'll drop everyone home, but you've been busy like swirling the appetizers and the colas down, licking your lips a bit too much. And you don't actually have a car to get all your drunk mates home when they come back from the club. So what do you do?
You
order a puber. That's exactly what you are. And the puber usually is a car that nobody's interested in. So it's a rare, but nobody cares. But it's fundamentally reliable. And it's free that night when you need a car. So you just get, in this instance, X-Red Rover 45 puber. Done. Your mates are so wazzed, they won't really question it. Because by that point, they're 8 pints in, a couple of shots, and maybe they've been talking to ladies. So there's just this heady mix of the night out going on. They don't care what car they're in, do they? I don't care.
Is someone going to bring this car to you if it's not already in the car park? You're saying it lives there, that like the Rover 45 lives there. It's the pub before the pub.
It lives there. So the next morning you have to take the pub back and it has to reset.
Okay.
Yeah. But the pub is... There's no mileage limit on the pub, but it does have to go back.
No. It's got to be pretty strict about cleaning it up if...
Oh, there can't be chunder in it.
One of your friends eats chips in it and things, or chunder.
There can't be a piece of lamb on the dashboard or anything from a dirty kebab house. No. Can't be anything like that. But yeah, so I'm just wondering, it's a sort of car that nobody cares about until that one night it's suddenly needed. And I think it could be a pub Uber. Pub Uber. Pub Uber.
Pooba.
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 Pooba. Well, you need to react to this.
I mean, conceptually, I'm just wondering, how much is this going to cost, or does it not? Is it a free service provided by a genial landlord for his trusted customers?
I think landlords have devised this method to combat, to fight back against Uber with the puber. And what they say is, if collectively... Well,
hang on,
can
I just stop you there? Why do pub landlords want to fight back against Uber? What's Uber done to them?
Well, because they want to earn more money, because they're trying to claw back COVID-related loss of earnings. So right, they're like, do you know what? We're going to do that. We're going to take the power back. They've chipped in. They've developed their own app. They've copyrighted Puba, and people are finding it funny on social media. And so what they're saying is yeah, we're going to own this, but mm-hmm. it's a free service if you spend in excess of £300 in that pub as a group. So say you go into a pub for, a good chunk of time, 4 hours with the boys. Lads. There's eight of you. You're all thirsty, apart from the nominated driver, of course. But then you're thirsty, but for non-alcoholic beverages. And as soon as that ticks over 300, the barman knows. The barman will send you a text to say, Puba has been activated, FOC. And then you know. The keys to the Rover 45. Next time you go up and get your drink, the keys for the Rover 45 or similar vehicle get passed across the bar and then released. You know when somebody, I'm doing it with my hand as I'm recording this, you slide your hand across the bar or across a table with something under your hand that you're concealing, and then you lift it away to the right or the left. Hinge the hand up to reveal the majesty of the key. And it will be a faux leather key fob on it as well, which will say Puba. And you can guarantee that the logo has been done by one of the landlord's nephews who can't really graphic design. But so it just looks like clip art. Bad clip art.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the end of that conversation. All right.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you do become a pub landlord, then you can implement this.
I'll start the Puba
with a Rover 45 seems like as good a place to start as any, or as bad a place depending on your perspective. I can see some actual problems with this, but
but I'm the kind of guy that would hang around with Shaggy whilst he was saying it wasn't me, and I've gone, I've just seen you cut a man in a pub.
You made a song about how it was you.
I've just seen you glass a guy in a pub, and then everyone else has watched, and you've just gone, that wasn't me. Just go, the CCTV's got you. The Ring doorbell has just seen you.
Yeah,
it wasn't me.
Do you just take my pint off the bar
just
and
go,
down
hang
it
on a
and
minute.
One?
Are
then?
You one of those dudes following Alexander Litvanenko? No, that wasn't me. But we've got you on CCTV. We know it was you, Shaggy.
No, wasn't.
Friend of... we should talk
people
about...
People go, Shaggy, did you go to a Sunday lunch at the head of Fiat's house in Miami? No, it wasn't me. Well, it says on Instagram that it was, so... Fucking idiot. We should just do a little... thank you to all the people who wrote in with... things about kind of birthday cars or cars that are relevant to the year or even the day they were born, which we were talking about last week. We'll read some of those out hopefully, I don't know, next time. We're running out of time now, but I did want to just do a little callback to last week and listener Damien Forey and his excellent scientific research about cruise control working in reverse, caused him to scupper his own Mitsubishi Outlander. Damien's written again.
Scupper. I think he cut the throat of it, didn't he?
His original email was entitled Reverse Cruise Control Test 1. His new email is entitled Reverse Cruise Control Tests 2, 3 and 4.
Guys,
just a short note while listening to this week's dose of Smith & Sniff. BMW are twats. 2019 X5 Auto and a 2022 X5 Auto don't even register speed in reverse. Must be like their indicators. Neither do a Toyota Hilux 2.8 GD6 Club Cab or Legend 45 Double Cab.
What Club Cab?
Damien is the most thorough man I've ever encountered. A GD6 Club Cab. I don't know. Damien's in South Africa, in case people missed.
That's amazing. So
these are cars
SA derivative that we're not familiar with.
I wonder if they're locally assembled. I don't know. I have to check that. But anyway, Damien says, I will leave this one for now till the next challenge. So he's gone above and beyond. And he's tried it in his own car, and it sounds like four other cars. So
hang on. So BMW don't register speed in reverse?
No, I guess. Does that mean what? So the speedo's not showing a speed in reverse, maybe? I don't know, but they, yeah. It's so they're not working. There's a PS, though. He says the Outlander is back to himself. The burning smell from the auto transmission fluid is gone, and the fuel consumption is back to normal.
Hang on, what do you mean?
No,
it's
warning lights.
The burning smell is gone. Well, surely the damage is done, is it? I mean, have you changed the... Seriously?
Don't say
it's like
that.
Saying the car was on fire, but it's not anymore, so it doesn't smell of fire anymore because it's
no,
been
it's fine,
put out.
So I could just drive it. That's a good
I would
point.
Change the tranny oil, I really would, personally.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. I mean,
well, I do.
Anyway, thank you, Damien, for your Professor Damien, as we're going to call him, for his valuable scientific endeavours in the name of finding out if cruise control works. There's a few people. Sorry, I didn't make a note of people's names, but various people in comments and emails suggested that the best way to get cruise control working in reverse is to use a sort of old-fashioned, possibly retrofit system like they used to have.
What?
In the 80s or 90s, because they don't distinguish between... forward and reverse, not as
I told you about the time when I bought that lovely, actually it was probably the best Mercedes 123 TE that I ever owned, and I bought it largely unseen at night for my brother from London. Did I tell you this story ages ago? Basically, it was the best spec 123 that most people want. So it's a 280 TE in that lovely forest green deep metallic. It had all the options on it that you'd want, two-tone green interior, and it even had the lock-on flight cases, the Mercedes official accessory flight cases that locked onto those chrome roof bars, which are ultra rare ultra rare. And the guy almost forgot to give them to me. He said, oh, I've got these roof boxes in the back garden. They had basically full of rainwater. And he said, oh, do you want them? I went, yeah, I'll take them. Little did I realise they're worth as much as the actual car. But anyway,
bloody hell.
I bought this thing because someone had taken pictures of it at night on a potato on eBay. And I just took a punt, and it turned out to be really good. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because I drove it home from West London back to Peterborough one night, and I was going to take it to my brother. And I went, oh, it's got factory cruise control. Oh, that's neat. And when I was on the M1, I think it was the M1 or the A1, I just clicked it on, and it wouldn't turn off.
Ooh.
Like, what? At 70, it would not turn off. And I had a real moment. It probably was only locked on for, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds. But that seems like a long time.
The longest, sweatiest 20 seconds of your life.
Oh, man, I was absolutely...
How did you get it to turn off again?
I think what I had to do, I think I turned the ignition off and back on again. But at 70. So, I mean, steering lock can creep in, all sorts. It was very desperate.
Yeah.
It was extremely
desperate. Oh, God. That's horrible.
And I never used it again. And when I gave the car to my brother, I said, don't you dare use the cruise control. You'll die.
Wow.
So we didn't.
That's scary.
But it was a sweet car and an absolute bargain. Proof that sometimes you should buy cars that have been photographed by people that aren't even looking at the car. It was just, the pictures were so bad, you could only just make out it was a green Mercedes and nothing more. They were that bad. And all I did is the guy had a number, and I just sent a text message to him and kind of went, does it have this? Does it have that? And he kind of went, yes, I think so. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. And I was like, bollocks, I'm buying this. 290 quid.
290 quid?
290 quid.
What year was this?
What, that I bought it or the car?
Yeah, what year, the year you bought it?
It would have been the first year I was living up here. Second year was 2004.
Oh.
2004.
Different times.
I mean, very different times. I mean, that would have, right now, that'll book going through Cairo Classic, I reckon, what, at least, I reckon, probably £5,000, £7,000.
Well, considering last week a Sierra Cosworth sold for, what was it in the end? £500,000?
It was over £500,000. I think it was, I'll just check. I think it was closer to 600 with all of the...
Yeah, with all fees and everything.
Auction fees. I mean, I I had to go and lie down.
Bananas,
did you?
Isn't it? I was just like, I always find things like that fascinating because, A, it's like, it's not my car and it's not my money. So I sort of, it doesn't, I see some people getting slightly sort of agitated about it. And I was like, it's just interesting, isn't it, that that's where things are. But I don't think it means every Sierra Cosworth is worth that. It's going to move the needle a little bit, isn't it? Because people will start trying to sell them for inflated sums now, believing that they're sitting on something similar. But
$596,250.
Frigging Nora.
So basically 600. Yikes. 600 grand for a Sierra. Oh, that's 500 quarter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well. Like I said,
the ultimate
fault. Not my money, not yours. So I hope that whoever's bought it is very happy.
Who
with
said?
It.
Hang on. You can talk for yourself.
What?
Not your money.
Oh, it is your
mine. Was it mine?
You part of it? Have you done over a gold warehouse, and now you're trying to clean up the money by buying old Fords?
I'm overpaying for 80s Fords.
Yeah.
Fords. It is overpaying, but it's going to the Middle East apparently to someone that probably has every other car you can think of.
Yeah.
And they just want it.
Well, there you go.
And that's that.
So everybody's happy. All right, well, that's probably enough for this. But before we go, I have three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Extricate Drapes Show, in which Johnny travels around the United States freeing curtains from things that have entangled them. This week, he's in Boise, Idaho, getting some floor-length velvet out of an umbrella stand. If that's not to your taste, then there's always the Late Break Show. Lots of excellent videos on there about cars and people who love them. I watched your 2CV barn fight. That was great. I like the 2CV... What's that place? The 2CV workshop or whatever it's
shop.
Called? 2CV shop.
Darren from the 2CV shop
Darren,
in Wiltshire.
Yeah, he's quite merciless with a starter motor, I noticed.
Yeah, a few people have said he might have hung on to it a bit long.
I love the way that you were going. Probably give it a rest now. Probably because I was at home going, no, stop it, stop it. But
stop it. I did feel sorry for it.
Fair play, though. Yeah. So that was a lovely film. Really enjoyed that. So go and watch that or any of the other excellent videos upon there.
We've got more coming up and all that. And in fact, if anyone's interested in my Honda Element, there'll be a video live on the Element when you listen to this cast. So go ahead, I dare you. Listen, watch some stuff.
Yeah.
Watch some material. We just clicked over 500,000 subscribers.
Oh, yeah.
Mate.
That's good,
you know
isn't
what I mean?
It?
Congratulations. Big accolade.
I know, that's amazing.
Thank you. In all seriousness,
if each one of your subscribers send you a quid, you could almost afford a Sierra Cosworth.
Oh, bloody hell, what a thought. No, I'll tell you what, look, I'm in the mood for overpaying for other Fords.
Okay.
So I'd like a really lovely Mark 1 Granada, as you well know. I'm going to pay £250,000 for one.
There we go. Every subscriber, just send Johnny 50p at your convenience, and he will turn his dreams into an overpriced reality.
Do you know what? In all seriousness, if everybody did send me 50p, I would buy I'd overpay for a Mark 1 Granada. That's a promise to
all right.
make.
I'll leave that one to you. Second thing I've got to tell you is we have Smith & Sniff merch, but as people have noticed, our merch shop is down at the moment. We are in the process of trying to set up a new merch shop, and with our sort of customary organisation skills,
we've muffed it
a little bit, so it's on its way. We are working on it intermittently, and merch will be back soon with mugs and t-shirts and all that.
Thank you for everyone that's ordered stuff so far. I can't believe, I mean, I'm shocked and surprised, but both with a smile, how popular the It'll Do It All Day mugs seem to
be. They really
you do like a touch of Steam Rally Wrongen, don't
yeah it? Who knew. And the third thing I've got to do is I was talking earlier on about TVC The Gold and the Brinks Matt gold robbery. One of the people involved in trying to fence the gold was Kenneth Noy, a name people might recognise because he was then in the 90s convicted of murdering a man in a road rage incident by the M25. And that's how, he was involved in Brinks Map.
Gosh,
but
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was weird because I was watching that show and I was going, Kenneth Noy, isn't he famous for something else? And he in the 90s, so
he
a long time.
He stabbed someone, didn't he, at the side of the road?
That's right, he did. And he was convicted for that and did jail time. He's out now, he's still alive, but he's out of jail.
Is he?
There is a book about Kenneth Noy called A Million Ways to Stay on the Run, which looks very interesting. But what really piqued my interest is that it's written by Jacko out of Brushstrokes.
What?
Do you remember that? Remember Brushstrokes,
the
sitcom?
Brushstrokes.
Carl Howman, the actor who played Jacko in Brushstrokes, and was later in EastEnders as well, He's co-written it with Donald McIntyre, you know, the investigative journalist who's on the TV doing that sort of thing. But yeah, so the actor Carl Howman has other talents, and one of them is that he's written an interesting book about the infamous crim Kenneth Noy. So weird old world, isn't it?
Yeah, that's incredible. That is incredible. Just goes to show, though, doesn't it?
Done it.
You know, you get cross with someone and you stab them, you'll ultimately have to go to prison, you know?
Well, it's justice for you, isn't it? All right, well, that is that's quite enough of this. Thank you to everyone who showed their appreciation for the stupid like and subscribe and review Stellantis tune at the end of the last episode. As a reward for your appreciation, we'll play out with it again this week.
Wife and subside.
Yes, exactly. Wipe and subside.
That sounds awful. Yeah, wipe does, and subside.
Whatever you want to do, but do please show your appreciation for the show if you feel so inclined, because it's much appreciated if you leave us nice reviews, if you score us with a generous star rating and all of the rest of that. It's all appreciated.
I was about to say the same, because listen, we've got some great pretenders in the podcast circles.
Yeah, we're still clinging on in there, so thank you for helping us to do that. Yeah. And we'll do this all again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye now. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.